Good afternoon, everybody. And welcome to the first afternoon session for Thursday, Sec 309, Unlocking the Power and Glory of User Device Affinity in Config Manager 2012. My name is James. My contact details are up there. Please drop me a line via my blog, via Twitter. Always happy to have any offline conversations. Spread the joy that is Config Manager. I'm a Windows IT Pro MVP. And I work for an integrator called VillageNet, and System Center is our thing, and definitely my thing. Now, user device affinity is not a massively hyped feature of Config Manager 2012. If you look in the administrative UI, you won't find a massive chunk of it that says UDA. But UDA is actually embedded throughout the entire product. And in my opinion, and I hope to be able to convince you of this, it's something of a game changer. In fact, it's definitely a game changer in the way we deploy applications. Because now we can finally deploy apps intelligently to user collections without creating massive mess across our environment. And I don't know about you, but to me, this is certainly a wonderful thing. So what I want to run through this afternoon, let's actually take a look at what UDA is. What makes it possible? What are the technical and architectural changes within Config Manager 2012, which allows us to take advantage of this? And let's actually take a look at some intelligent app deployment. Now, I will say, I'll give you pre-warning. Config Manager is in beta 2, so there are, of course, some funny bugs, hilarious bugs that really make your day. And the intelligent app deployment is one of those ones, so I will have to do this live and untested. If it works, I may do a dance. All right, so what is UDA? All right, the key critical thing here is the A, affinity. It is about establishing relationships, something that we've not really been able to do, at least not within the confines of Config Manager. All right, now we can. What we can do is finally, within the Config Manager environment, match the user to the workstation that they use. Okay, so this isn't simply creating a collection whereby we're having a look at registry entries on each workstation, trying to grab profile information, building queries around that. It isn't as cumbersome as that anymore. Within Config Manager 2012, you can actually say, this user uses this workstation. From this, everything flows. But it's not a one-to-one relationship. It's many-to-many. You may be a user who has multiple workstations. They're all assigned to you. Alternatively, you may be a user with no workstations and you access a pool of them and you need that sort of personal application experience across all of them. UDA caters for this. And finally, it allows, finally, some intelligent and some elegant options for delivering applications. Hands up here, who actually targets applications to user collections within Config Manager 2007? Couple. How about device collections? Yeah, more. Why devices, sir?
Licensing.
It's easier. Exactly. Less bandwidth. It cuts down on the mess. What do you do if you deploy it to a user and they go and log on to a workstation you don't know about and it's not a site licensed app? Problematic. Now we can cater for that. So why do we care? We all know people like this. When I showed this slide deck to my wife, she said, sure you want to use that picture? He looks like a prick. I say, yes, I know. Then my work here is done. We all know people like this. Okay, we all work with them. We all have to cater for them. People like this, they are business-driven, which means that their time is the most important time that it is possible for time to have any sort of meaning for. Okay, and anything which slows them down is a bad thing. And if you're slowing them down, or if they perceive that you're slowing them down, that's even worse. They do not give a damn about corporate IT. If they think that Firefox is the browser for them, then they're going to push it through, and it doesn't matter what you say. Okay. And finally, they consider every PC in the environment a personal resource. Just because they have a laptop, that doesn't mean that they should do anything as sensible as bring it to work. No, no, no. They're going to rock up, and they're going to rock up to your IT department and say, hey, I left my laptop at home. I want another one right now. Why doesn't it have all my apps on it? What apps? You know, my apps. They are trying to deal with this sort of person is one of the most frustrating things imaginable. But because they tend to be quite high up in the management infrastructure, they also have a lot of say. It's very difficult to say no to a person like this. And at the bottom end of the food chain, you got these guys. These guys would love to have a laptop of their own. In fact, they bug you about it all the time, but the business doesn't consider them important enough. Maybe they don't bring in enough money yet. I worked at a school, and to me, these guys were the new graduate teachers, fresh out of university. And they were very upset to discover that unless you had a teaching load, I think it was 0.7 or above, you did not get a laptop. Now, it was always rather interesting, actually, how the college didn't consider them important enough to give them a laptop, but they consider themselves important enough to give you a hard time about it, which I'm sure we've all been there. So rather, instead of a personal machine of their own, they have to share a pool of resources, okay? But from their experience or from their expectation, the applications that they need should just be there. Do you know what applications that they need? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Okay, but normally the only way to get around that is and to meet all of those expectations all the time is simply to install every application that you can potentially think about on your SOE so that you don't have to put up with those calls. You know, where's iTunes? You know, well, it doesn't exist. It should exist. No, it doesn't exist. So let's get straight into a demo about what this looks like from a user's perspective. All right, so here is just a standard workstation, Win 7 Enterprise 64-bit. This workstation is allocated to my logged-on user, LabUser02, within Config Manager. This is what's known as their primary workstation. This user has demanded that the absolute best corporate application that they need is Firefox, okay, despite the fact that as far as Mozilla is concerned, Firefox is something off the enterprise. Actually, on that note, if you want an enterprise version of Firefox, or at least an enterprise deployable one, frontmotion.com, they repackage Firefox always latest builds into MSIs and make those available for free. Some very, very good profiles and transforms, so check those out. So, this user knows I have asked for Firefox, why isn't it there? Has it been allocated to me in my brand new System Center software catalog? Yes, it has. More on what the software catalog is and how you can interact with that as an administrator later on. Firefox is there. Excellent. I'm going to install that. Yep, I would like to install it. Connects to the server, checks it out, downloads, and then pushes it through to the software center, which is part of the locally installed Config Manager agent. Goes through, it's installed, yay, launches. And we're done. Now, on another computer, the same user logs in. It's workstation 03. Same user logs in. Again, they want Firefox. Okay, it isn't there. Fine. Is it allocated to me? Yes, it is. It all looks exactly the same. No problem. I'm going to install it. Bearing drop down. Make it part of the thing. And done. Now, from a user's perspective, this is all exactly the same. It's what they expect. Browsers are there. Done. But if we take a look at the properties of this shortcut, this is an appv application. It's not locally installed. Okay, that is actually being captured and redirected via the Config Manager agent. So what I've done in the background is said, if this user logs on to a workstation which belongs to them, give them the MSI. That's okay. If they log on somewhere else, I don't want that MSI dropping down. I don't want that bandwidth issue. Okay, so give them an app B version of it instead. We're going to launch that. Now, again, there is a slight bug, so I'm going to have to run that as admin. Checking for updates, launching, and we're done. So from a user's perspective, it is all about All they care about is Firefox. I want it, where is it? Okay, there it is, and we're done. From our perspective, what we don't want is those MSIs following around, dropping down, chewing up space, chewing up bandwidth, lag times, okay? And we want easy options. Now, in order to do this in Config Manager 2007, you could potentially do it. You'd have to know a heck of a lot about that, about the user's behavior, where they log on, what they have access to, where they're likely to be. And even then, you'd have to do some quite spectacularly complex queries and collections. But as we'll see pretty soon in Config Manager 2012 with UDA, this is just a couple of clicks. So, let's take a look at the new architecture and functionality within Config Manager 2012, which makes UDA possible. There are a few main things. The first is the equivalence of users and workstations. They are no longer treated, or at least it's the focus of 2012 is not workstation, workstation, workstation. Okay, it's very much, actually now let's focus a lot more on the users. Microsoft finally realized that those really irritating things that log onto your workstations and break things are users, and we might actually have to cater for them. All right, so they actually finally have equivalence. You can manage them and treat them as an important aspect of your Config Manager infrastructure, as important as a workstation. Primary user and primary device. Allocate a user to a device or a device to a user. One, two, four, doesn't matter. And finally, there is a new application model. That is what really makes this stuff possible. The old application model in 2007 is still present in 2012, but it's very much a legacy thing, and you can't do this new stuff with a 2007-based application model. And the software catalog, as we saw, this is a web front end. This is where users see what applications have been allocated to them. This is pulled straight off the Config Manager site. And yes, the OG is, oh, geez. It's like having to write virtualize with a Z just because otherwise your SOE won't pick it up. All right, so user collections within 2012 are actually fairly similar to how they were in 2007 in terms of if you want to actually create one. It'll poll AD, you can poll OUs, bring in users, bring in groups, whatever you want to do. That's okay. It'll do an update change every 5 minutes by default, and you can change that if that's what you want to do. You can also discover extended AD attributes. It doesn't do that by default, but you can change that. So if you've extended your schema with Link or Exchange, and you can start to build up collections and queries with information like phone numbers, email addresses, organization, stuff like that. User and device equivalence. This is just to illustrate that embedded within the product itself, users and devices are treated as separate but equal objects. Okay, they are as important as each other. They are treated separately and they are treated with equal priority. Your membership of user collections is very similar. It's just changed fractionally. You can make a user or a user group a direct member of a collection. Okay, exactly as you can in 2007. You can also do a query rule using Windows query language where you jump out into AD and actually grab that information in. Or you can simply make a user group a member of a user collection as well. Any members of that AD group are automatically members of the Config Manager collection too. And you can also do include and exclude collections. So this is essentially saying, okay, I want all my users to be a member of user collection A, except these ones. So you can actually do negative query, if you like. And you can do exactly the same for workstations too. So you can start to build up collections of workstations which either include or exclude other ones. It's quite neat. That is actually something which Config Manager 2012 leverages off in a very strong way when migrating from 2007 to 2012 when you have linked collections. It makes use of that ability. Okay, sort of cuts down on the mess. So the big one, of course, is how do you actually establish a relationship between a user and the workstation they log onto? There are four main ways. You can do it as a config manager admin through the administrative UI. So you can say, this user is attached to this workstation or this number of workstations. Okay, it's a manual process. Alternatively, the user can do it themselves if you give them the ability to do that. They can actually nominate that the workstation they are logged onto is a primary workstation for them. Okay, that is by default turned off, and we'll see why. You can get the Config Manager agent to do it themselves. The Config Manager agent will actually build up a repository of information over time about who is logging on, how long they are staying logged on each time, how often they log on, and it'll use that to build up a profile of who would be a good candidate for being a primary user. And finally, you can actually nominate a primary user within OSD. So when you pump out a new operating system image, your users are automatically assigned to that new workstation as primary users. So if we look at the admin method, it's simply right-click on the user or right-click on the workstation, primary user, primary device, and we're done. But that can obviously be pretty slow, so if you need to, you can do a bulk import. So in the same way that you can do a bulk import of new workstations using a CSV, you can also do a bulk import of allocations in exactly the same way. If you want the users to be able to do this themselves, the software catalog is where this is done. So when they interact with this web-based interface, there is actually an option there that says, hey, I regularly use this computer. Now, by default, that is turned off, simply because as an administrator, you don't want users who know how to do this running around and allocating themselves as primary users. Okay, but it's controlled via the client settings. Now, normally in 2007, the client settings were universal to the site. Okay, in 2012, that is no longer the case. So if you want to have a small subset of workstations, and the people who log on to those workstations can, if they wish, nominate themselves as primary users, then you can actually generate a new subset of those client settings and assign it to a new collection without having to spool up another site to manage them in a different way. To get the agent to do it themselves, again, this is managed via client settings, and by default, it's turned off. Okay, so over time, even though the Config Manager agent is talking back to the primary site and building up a repository of information, it's not going to do anything about that. Again, for the same reasons. You don't want, over time, users suddenly to appear as primary users. Okay, it makes sense. But you can change that if you want. And again, because it's a client setting thing, you can give that ability to a subset of other users, other workstations. What it does do is, because it's still building up all of that information over time, it'll actually create an affinity request, which you can see as an administrator in the admin UI. So it's basically telling you, hey, users X, Y, and Z would actually make candidates as primary users because they use it all the time. And as an administrator, you can basically go, yep, all right, I agree with that. So it saves you from having to wonder who is using it all the time. And as I already mentioned, because it's handled in a client settings, but because it's Config Manager 2012, you can actually have separate ones for separate collections. And in OSD, we've got a couple of new Config Manager variables, assign users mode and UDA users. So you simply spin up a new step in each task sequence and say, okay, this user is a primary user. So every time that that image is pumped out onto a new set of workstations, you already know who are primary users. And that will actually pop up in the admin UI as OSD defined. The new application model is what makes this really possible. Okay. the new application model moves away from sort of packages and programs. It's now about deployment types. So when you spool up a new application, say Adobe Reader, you can specify any number of deployment types. Now that's either a native installer like MSI, a virtualized installer, AppV, maybe it's a script, maybe it's a mobile version, a cab or a jar. Maybe it integrates with Zenapp or it's a connection through to a remote terminal. But you can have as many as you like, even multiple MSIs. So say you've got a particular version of Adobe Reader and you want a particular build of that to go out to some users, but another build using another MST file to go out to another group of users. That can all be done. Each deployment type has a priority. So you can almost think of it like a bunch of firewall rules in TMG. So when a user logs on and the config manager agent talks back and says, okay, I have access to this application, do I have access to priority 1? No, I don't. I'll jump down. Priority 2? No, I don't. Priority 3? Yes, I do. Fine. That's the one I'm going to use. And so that, again, functionality built in. It understands dependencies. So if it jumps down and says, okay, priority 2, AppV, but what's the dependency on that? You have to have the AppV agent installed. Okay, fine. I'll do that first. It understands that and now finally understands interrelationships between applications without having to go down the OSD path. And finally understands supersedence. So if you spool up a new version of Adobe Reader, say, and you already got, say, 9.4 and you're throwing out Adobe Reader 10, you can actually say, all right, Adobe Reader 10 now supersedes Adobe Reader 9. I want you to uninstall it and reinstall the new one. And you don't have to spool up a new deployment with scripting and intelligence behind that. It's all done for you. It is not available for your standard 2007 type applications. When you do a migration from Config Manager 2007 to 2012, all of your applications, with the exception of AppV, are dumped into the older programs tab, simply so that it works exactly as you expect. And you then have the option of upgrading them, changing them to the new application type with a deployment type. If you have applications which are already MSI, then they're already compatible with the new application type. Okay, so you will be able to use those in this new way. In fact, Microsoft are actually working on a tool which is currently being beta tested by TAP customers, which is going to integrate with the admin UI. And it's like an internal upgrade. Okay, so you can actually right-click on your standard program from 2007 and say, right, is this application viable to become a new application? Yes, it is. Right, handle it all for me. It's done. Currently in beta 1. When that comes out in beta 2, it's going to be publicly available via Microsoft Connect. And finally, with each new application type, you can customize the appearance of it within the software catalog. Okay, so you control how it appears to your users. So on that note, let's take a look at the software catalog. As we saw earlier from the workstations, it's a web-based front end. It's a Silverlight app. And what the user sees is what applications have been assigned to users. Now, as you also saw, there's a software center. That's part of the local config manager agent. That shows you what applications have been assigned to workstations. So for the moment, you think of software catalog as users, software center as workstations. It's common across everything. Okay, so it doesn't matter which workstation a user logs onto, they're going to see what applications are assigned to them, no matter what. And it allows users to install and to request apps. So with the new application model, there's a checkbox that says, if a user asks for this, let me know. Don't give it to them automatically. Okay, I want to approve this. Maybe there are licensing issues. Maybe there's an internal workflow that means approval must be given first. I know that there is some work going on with Orchestrator and Service Manager to actually tie those two things together so that when a user contacts the help desk and asks for a new application, Orchestrator kicks in through through System Center Service Manager and does all the back-end work for you. from an infrastructural perspective, the software catalog is enabled using the application web service point and site point server roles on each and every server within the Config Manager 2012 architecture that you wish to nominate. You can have one, you can have many, doesn't really matter. Okay, and what you do is within the client settings, and again, so you can nominate extra ones if you like, you can point your users to the most appropriate one, so you can maximize bandwidth, or at least minimize WAN impact. And you can also make them externally accessible. The default site, it's managed by the agent. All right. And finally, it actually comes down to how do you put in this backend intelligence? How do you actually make it all possible? Simply, and this is obviously the most dumbed-down version, you deploy the application to a user collection. Okay, this is something, of course, that in Config Manager 2007 we usually were really wary of. Normally, it's always to workstations. Now we actually say, no, give it to a group of users. And then you use a primary device test. Say, is this user logged on to their primary workstation? If they are, okay, good. If they're not, let's do something else. Okay, there are more tests available as well. So the main user one is primary workstation. But workstation ones could be, is the user logged on to a workstation which has enough memory? Are they logged on to a workstation with enough disk space? Okay, and you can start to do more intelligent stuff around there too. Maybe it is their primary workstation, but they filled it up with MP3s. Okay, in which case you're not going to do an installation. You're maybe going to push them off to a XenApp session instead. And you can also build up your own custom tests for each and every one. Does this particular registry entry exist? If so, run the app V1. In the requirements, primary device equals true, and it's really that simple. All right, so I think we're barreling through this at a massive rate, so let's actually look at doing this. This is the bit that I said I was slightly nervous about because of the bug, so let's try and do this live. So, I want to deploy 7-zip. All right, so I've got an MSI of that, and earlier on today, I went through and did an app V of it as well. I want to push that out to my lab user, lab user 2, and I only want it to install on their primary workstation. So the first thing I'm going to do is jump into assets and compliance, and we'll look at my users. Here they are, is lab user 2. I'm going to add him to a new user collection, which I'm going to call app 7-zip. I'm going to limit that collection to all users, okay, so that that collection can never be larger than the all users collection. And we're done. Okay, it's a direct membership rule. I'll zoom in every time I can. Because it's a direct membership rule, I don't really care about updating it, so I'm going to untick those. Let's go next, and we're done. By default, it's going to create that within user collections. There it is. I actually don't want it there. I've actually made an administrative folder called applications, which I'm actually using. Now, this isn't like Config Manager 2007, where you have sub-collections and sub-collections and link collections and relationships between them all. If you want to organize your collections in a meaningful way, just create a folder. And those folders don't do anything other than hold collections. So in order to bring it in, let's go right-click. Let's move it. Applications. There it is. And one member. Now, then we jump into the software library. As you can see up here, I've got applications, but I've got packages as well. So if I take a look in the packages, as some examples of some older ones, there is 7-zip already in there. I bought that in as part of a migration, so I'm actually going to delete that. Don't want that there. Audacity is a good example of an application which isn't compatible with the new application model because its installer is an EXE. Okay, the new app model does not accept EXEs. It's MSIs if you want native installers. Microsoft have basically said, okay, the only way to really get the logic and the intelligence that we want is to start from a baseline that actually gives us that. So EXEs are old, MSIs, you're in. So I'll jump into applications. Let's right click. Let's go create an application. I want Windows Installer. I could have AppV, Mobile Cabinet, or Nokia SysJars. Where's my software? I want the 64-bit version. Next, and it's done. It's automatically filling out most of this information. That all looks pretty good, 7-zip. Now, one of the ones that I particularly like, which is relatively new, is are you installing it for system or a user? If you're deploying it to a group of workstations, install it for the system. That means every user that logs onto it will be able to see it. If it's deployed against a group of users, it will only install for the user. So what that means is, let's say someone else comes and logs on to another user's primary workstation. All right, this other user has installed something with MSI. Normally, that means anyone else who logs on can usually see it too, depending on the transforms or any other intelligence you've already done. If it's been installed for the user, they will not see it. They won't see the shortcuts. They won't see it in add remove programs. The only way that they can find it is if you give them access to program files in the registry. Then they can access it. But if you lock that down, it's like it doesn't exist. So I'm happy with all of that. Next, and we're done. So we've got a new application with an MSI deployment type. No dependencies, it's all good. Now what I want to do is to create a requirement. So I jump into the properties, to requirements, add a new one. It's a user, primary device equals true. Put that in and we're done. So what occurs now if a user logs on to a workstation that's not their workstation? Now I need another option. So right click here and create deployment type. I could create another MSI. Just because I've done one MSI doesn't mean I can't do another one. So maybe I've done a transform in a particular way that turns off updates, but someone else needs it where it is enabled or certain other features, no problem. I can cater for that. In this instance, however, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say I'm going to do it at V. Let's find my software, AppV sequences, 7-zip, there's my manifest. Next, does all that look good? I think I'm going to stream it. It's been optimized to stream. And if they're in a different boundary, they can download that. Let's go next. It's automatically thrown in a prerequisite. It's got that out of the AppV manifest itself. So when I sequenced the application, that was one of the checks I threw in. It's recognized that. It's imported that straight into Config Manager. Now, I could, if I wanted to, also say, and by the way, you must have AppV installed as well. And if it's not, remediate that. But I know it's installed, so I'm not going to worry. Do I have any software dependencies? That's where I'd throw it in if I needed that. Next, and we're done. So what I've now got is a priority one and a priority two deployment type for this application. They both are available. And the last step is simply to, well, not quite the last step. Let's distribute the content. Let's put that to my new deployment point group, which contains all my DPs. And we're done. Let's jump through into the monitoring tab. Let's have a look at the content. Have a look at the status of this one. It is in progress. And we're done. Jump back to the software library and let's deploy. The collection I'm going to deploy it to is my newly created one, 7-zip. I can automatically redistribute if I need to. Don't need to, so I won't. For this purpose, I just want the application to be available, not mandatory. If it was mandatory, the user would not be able to uninstall it. Okay, it would automatically install, it would give them no choice about it, and they wouldn't be able to remove it. And also, I can ask for administrative approval. Okay. Now, at the moment, if you go down that path, all of the admin requests that you get are part of the admin UI within Config Manager. So you will get alerts, but sort of not automated emails. That's where Orchestrator comes in and makes it a lot more intelligent and makes it a lot more usable for both your administrators and your help desk staff. Let's jump out. Let's go next. Schedule. Nope, I like it to be available now. I can hide all the notifications if I want, but I don't want. Let's go next. Do I want any warnings? Outside maintenance? Nope, it's all fine. Don't really care. Next. And we're done. We've got a deployment. And there it is. Now, what we should see, should being famous last words, is in the software catalog. If we go back to the software catalog, hooray. It's been deployed. It's available to the user now. Now, they're logged onto the primary workstation. So if we go through and we click install. Yes, mate. I don't remember that. Oh, yeah. All right, we're done. Software Center successfully installed. Thank you, File Manager, and we're done. Over on number 3, this is where we find out whether it actually appved properly or not. Still available, so from the user's perspective, everything's exactly the same, no change. Install it. Down, successfully installed. I think it's going to look slightly different. Here we go. SimZip File Manager. Now let's just take a look at the properties. And this is appved. So it's picked up the fact that the user's not logged onto their primary workstation. They still have access to this app, but it's appv. So let's launch that with Yoldi buggy workaround. Will you appv? Did you work successfully? Oh, yeah. So, again, from a user's perspective, it's all exactly the same. No change, no variation. From your perspective, you get to get the applications that the user wants, but in a manner that suits you, okay? Not that suits them. You don't have to start to butcher and to break your SOE as a result of attempting to meet unreasonable user expectations about what applications should be available where. Because we all know there are virtualization options. You know, you can appv and you can Xen app and all this stuff, but it tends to be an all or nothing approach. If you log on to this workstation, they're all Xen apps. If you log on to this other workstation over here, they're probably all appv. If you log on to this one, they're all installed. Now you can mix and match, give the users the best application, the best fit for where they're logged on, but keep it under your control. Okay? And you don't have to jump through hoops of collections and queries and sub-collections and checking for registry entries and all this stuff. It's just done for you. The Config Manager agent handles it. Yes, mate.
Their current machine.
So the question is, what's the user experience if there isn't a deployment type which matches them? That's actually a good question. I don't know. We can test it now if you like. Got time, I have some spare apps. So, all right, let's take a look. So, let's jump back into software. I'm going to create a new application. This one is... Power GUI. This is actually a good example of an application that you may not want everywhere. Maybe it's only something that you want on certain workstations because you don't want users accessing it from wherever they log on. You want to narrow that down a bit. If an administrator is going to wander off somewhere else and log on, well, maybe you don't want to have to pump this down. If they're going to work with PowerShell and start to manage your environment, maybe you just want to lock it down. Okay. So that's all good. Power GUI. Install for system. Nope, I'm going to change that. Install it as a user. Next. Done. Got our deployment types. Throw in a requirement. All good. Deploy that to our new user. Create a new user collection. Limit that collection to a top level one. Direct membership. Don't update. Let's be totally anal about where things live. Not that any administrator would ever be accused of being anal. All right, Power GUI looks good. Let's distribute the content. Distribution point group. And actually, before we do that, just make sure it goes through. Status, it's in progress, should be a small one. Done. Software library. Deploy. New collection. Don't need to redistribute. It's available. Next. All right, so that should be deployed now. Yep. Let's jump back into our workstation. All right, so they see it as they're available to install. What happens when they're not logged on to their primary? It's still there. Will it install? Evaluating requirements. Software installation not started. Actually, just to make sure that that's not the behavior, which it shouldn't be, just make sure we actually can install it. By the way, if this works, I'm not doing a dance. I've done it once. Okay, it's evaluated. It's fine. Happy with it. It's downloading. Okay, it failed. There will be a reason for that, probably. The reason is it's beta 2. No, the point is that it passed the test. Okay, so it attempted to download and to install it. It'd be something with the MSI I didn't do properly, okay, because I didn't test that earlier on. But so the user experience is, as we saw, yep, it's available to you. You're not logged on to the right kind of workstation. There's been a lot of questions asked actually about, can you customize the software, catalog. Now, at the moment, the answer is yes, you can change the name of what the user sees. It's like, wow. But there's a lot of questions about, okay, I want to brand it, I want to make it look right, I want to change the error messages, because that other one of saying the software installation didn't work, it's like, well, yeah, okay, but why? You know, I want to know that. The answer seems to be, yeah, Microsoft are obviously aware that a lot of customers want the ability. If your users are going to be using this as a single pane of access into what applications are available to them, then it can't be generic. Okay, it's got to be relevant to them. It's got to be relevant to the company. So I think we can certainly see some functionality unlocked. At the back end, it is just IIS. So if we jump back into the Config Manager server, so fire up, go into administration. This is my primary site server. So I've got those two roles available. If I take a look at the properties of the site point, I believe it is, that's the URL. Jump in and take a look. It's pointing to a particular web application, so it spools up an IIS application pool and a particular IIS site in the back end. It's .NET 2, I think. So it's certainly all capable of being manipulated and managed. It would just be good if it worked consistently at the moment. You can customize the organization name. Very exciting. But in terms of if you wanted to direct your particular users to a particular site, and you can do that in the client agent settings. This is their defaults. You go to its computer agent, and they have a default application catalog website point. Now, I've thrown that in manually because by default it doesn't use the fully qualified name, so I wanted to use that. Also then pumped out the URL to everyone's desktop with group policy preferences. But let's say that a user logs on to a particular group of workstations and the most efficient access point to the software catalog is actually a site somewhere else. How would you do that? Well, we change the client settings and we create some custom ones. Now these are devices. It's a computer agent. We can jump in there and change the website accordingly. If we have a few of them installed, so you can actually auto. So for your boundary groups, it works out where the user's logged on, which workstations they log on to, which boundaries they're a part of, and which sites are available to service those workstations. It then points them to the most appropriate software catalog site. Now, I don't have multiple ones rigged up, but it'd be relatively straightforward to do that. Let's just say, for example, we're actually going to keep it exactly as it is, so I'm actually quite happy with that. Willich. All right. Software catalog. And now I've got another option there. It's not automatically turned on. I would need to jump in and to assign it, and then I assign it to a particular collection of users. So say I had somewhere else, have a test lab out there, no problem, assign it to them, and it's done. So when a user logs onto those workstations, they will go to a different software catalog, and I don't have to spool up a primary site in order to manage that. In fact, there is an architecture session on this afternoon. I think it's Sec 314. If you're very interested in Config Manager 2012, I strongly recommend that you go to that. That's going to go into, 414. It's going to go into a lot of the new architectural changes and software and content distribution and delivery, and how the distribution points have changed is a big one of that. And this directly affects our access, our ability to pump out applications to users in the most effective manner. Okay. So the question is, as administrators, we tend to lock down a user's ability to install stuff. So if they go in and it's a self-service portal, how does that impact that? It's not installed using user rights. It's installed using administrative rights. So it gets around that completely. You don't have to script it, you don't have to cater for it, it's taken care of. So these are limited users. They can't install anything. But it's the config manager agent that's handling it. So it doesn't worry you at all. Okay. Sorry? Yes, sir. Okay, so the question is, when a user's logged onto a workstation that's not their primary, they get an app V version, and then we change that, and they now do get, so it now is their primary workstation. Okay, what will occur is that when the user next logs on, it's going to look at what applications they have access to. Okay, so even though you've deployed an app V version previously, yes, it's probably in the local app v cache, which user can't access anyway. Right? It's still going to run through and double check. Okay, they still got access to all of this, so it's not a one off, if you know what I mean. So if you then subsequently revoke access, then it's gone. And even though the user previously had access to it, and even though it may have been installed, it's still gone. So the next time they log on, they're going to see 7-zip is there. And they're saying, okay, well, it was in my start menu, why is it not there now? Software, catalog, fine, install, MSI drops down. Now, so the scenario is certainly not a case of, unless you've set it to mandatory, in which case the application is going to install no matter what, certainly the case is that it's going to remove access to the application which is no longer appropriate, sorry, to the deployment type, which is no longer appropriate. It's not going to automatically mediate that. Okay, so they will have access properly. The fact that AppV was installed, an AppV version of the application was installed, is not a problem. Okay, so it's the MSI is just going to drop down instead.
So basically,
you need to get AppV right first. Otherwise, you need to get the version. So the question is, you need to get UDA right first up, otherwise they're going to make changes which they're going to lose and come and complain to you about. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the whole point is to avoid people ringing you and complaining. So, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So. Okay, so the question is, what about licensing and compliance? Well, I guess the first thing is to say that a user can't actually go around and log on and install stuff what they want, where they want. Okay, so as part of the making stuff available per user, let's take an example. You've got Adobe Professional. Okay, it's a licensed one. People like it. They make PDFs, bright and shiny. You've got 50 licenses. So you spool up a new user collection which has 50 members. Okay, only those users can access that application. If they log on to their primary workstation, yep, it installs, it's an MSI. Okay, that's fine. If they log on somewhere else, if you've app-V'd it, it's available to them there. But from a licensing perspective, you're not out of compliance. Okay, the user can use it. But if another user goes and logs on to their primary workstation, they're not going to see it unless it happens to be this second user's primary workstation too. But when they install it, they're installing it for them. Does that make sense? So the fact that you have a hard set collection with a certain number of users, that is effectively your licensing. Users can't go around that. If you're pushing out applications to users, only the users who have access to it can access it. It doesn't move beyond that. If you're installing applications for the workstation, then you are working around UDA. So you're not actually working with UDA anymore. In that particular case, what you would do, you'd use the inventorying ability of the config manager agent, and there are some reports available within Config Manager 2012 which will actually allow you to import what licenses, what third-party licenses you have. So you basically spool up a spreadsheet. I've got 50 of Adobe Pro, I've got 100 of Photoshop. Bring those in. The Config Manager agent over time is going to look at what has been inventoried out in the wild, and you can run a report which actually compares those. And if you want to automate an alert based around that, then you can do that too. With Orchestrator coming in as well, you could conceivably trigger an event that says, okay, I've run a licensing compliance check. I've now discovered that for some reason there are 51 instances of Adobe Pro out in the wild. It knows which workstations it's installed on, generates an alert, Orchestrator comes through, goes, yep, fine, email it, send it through, and you know about it. Okay, so there is a lot more intelligence behind this. So, no, it's simply not visible anymore. Sorry, the question was if, well, I'll make sure I understand it. If you've got a user who they have a primary workstation, you then make them a primary user of another workstation. Yep. They then have access to it on both machines as an MSI, because you've said primary user both, and if you're logged on as a primary user, MSI. Yep. Would it uninstall it? It would not. Would it uninstall it? Do you want to check? I don't know. All right, let's take a look. All right, so let's have a look at our scenario. So, let's go for 7-zip. All right. Assets of compliance, going to devices. This is all junk stuff that I migrated across. Let's have a look at workstation 02. Edit primary users. Workstation lab user 02 is in there. This is an example of the Config Manager agent in action. Okay, as I mentioned, it's building up a repository. It's building up information over time. Who is logging on? How long are they logging on for? Are they candidates to become primary users? Okay, answer is yes. So I could go through onto any of these and say, yep, I want to add myself. So I go, yep, click, add, and we're done. This guy, let's remove him. You realize now, of course, my lab is irrevocably broken. All right, and this will require a log off. Jump back in, lab 02, make sure it's all good. So, in the software catalog, they should still see it there. It's available to them, okay? So, yep, it's still there. Is it installed? Yeah, it is. So the question is, could you simply include a group that has a deployment type to it that goes through and uninstalls it? Yeah, you could do that if you wished. Yeah, and run checks against it. Pretty much. Look, that is actually quite interesting behavior, because obviously the whole point of UDA is that it's robust across every scenario. It's supposed to give you flexibility for changes in your environment. So that's something I will certainly mention to the guys at Connect. You know, if you remove this, it's been installed. Hey, it's still there. What's occurring? So I'll find out. Okay. So you mentioned Zenapp earlier. So rather than FB, you could have take XDetMP with the same shortcut on a terminal server for the non-primary routine. Yeah, so the question is extra deployment types, integration with terminal services and Zenapp. Yep, those options are currently not there in beta 2. The Zenapp integration will probably come something from Citrix. And the terminal server stuff will probably come in a later revision. Alternatively, if you get an RDP shortcut and make it into an MSI, then you can integrate that into beta 2 as well, but as a .rdp file, it's not there at the moment. But that is definitely the type of scenario we're catering for. Yep, absolutely. All right, we're starting to run up against the clock. So let's just wrap this one up. It's all about satisfying your users. That's why we're here. We love our users. We want to keep them satisfied. If you think about it, what Microsoft has actually achieved, yes, it's still in beta 2. Yep, there are still bugs. They're trying to cater for stuff that previously has been exceptionally difficult to cater for. But what they've done is finally taken a proper user-centric view within Config Manager. Finally, it is all about the users. I was watching some presentations on this of architecture changes and overviews from MMS and TechEd US. And the program managers over there are long-term deployment guys. They've been there from the days of SMS 1.0. And they have all said, we were absolutely convinced and we were right that the best way to deploy applications is to the workstation. That's what gives you the most control. It's what gives you the best user experience. And now saying, guess what? We now actually have to change that point of view. Now it's all about the user. Okay, it's not just about what machine they're logging onto. It's not just about the notebooks and the desktops. You can do this to users logging onto a server. Okay, it has options for deploying mobile devices as well. So admittedly not a massive range of mobile devices, but if you've got a CAB file, let's say, or a Nokia SysJar file for Adobe Reader, the point is the user logs onto that as well. And they will get Adobe Reader. It's been pushed. You've made it available. So as long as you've done the application work, Config Manager will handle the rest. I guess we can sort of share a little bit. There's been speculation about what other types of mobile platforms are going to be supported. The answer is, as far as I'm aware, none. It's just Windows Mobile and Symbian, so SysJars. That will give you native access to the platform. Stuff like iOS, Android, WinPhone 7. Config Manager can talk out to an Exchange 2010 server and pull in anything and everything which has talked to it via ActiveSync and bring that into the Config Manager environment. From there, you can do ActiveSync type work. You can push policies out, do remote wipe. But again, this is a UDA feature as well. It knows which user has logged on to that mobile handset and what credentials have been passed through. So in the software catalog, there is actually a section where the user can see what mobile phones they have, and they can initiate a remote wipe themselves. So look, it's not a game changer. It's not a huge thing. It's nice, the fact that you can now bring mobile platforms into Config Manager. You can do some inventory work against them. You can do some reporting against them, and if you need to do any sort of bulk changes, you don't need to bug the Exchange guys, which is always nice. So, been a few questions already, but does anybody have any more questions or anything else you want to take a look at before we wrap up for the afternoon? Yes, sir. Yes. So the question is, let's say I pump an application out, 50% of the users it's deployed to pick it up, then a new version comes out. What do I do about that? New application model understands supersedence. So let's take a quick, I can show you that very quickly. I was actually diligent and prepped for this earlier on. So a great example is we've got Adobe Reader 9.4 in the environment, but I've brought out Adobe Reader X. I want everyone to upgrade to Adobe Reader X. Okay. So what I can do, right click on properties and jump into the supersedence tab. And I'm going to add. And it's basically saying, all right, what is the, so the current app is 9.4. What's the new one? I'm going to say it's Adobe Reader X. Wrong way around. Current application is superseded. Okay. Superseding X with 9.4 is a brave approach. All right, so the superseded one is 9.4. All right, so it takes a look at what deployment types are available in 9.4. Interacting with them, it's not always going to be appropriate to hit every single one. So what I'm going to say is actually the MSI. I want to install the MSI deployment type that I've made available for Adobe Reader X. And because it doesn't do a native uninstall, as far as I'm aware, I want you to uninstall it as well. Go through, apply. I'm not going to try and do this live. What I can do, though, is if I take a look and I go view relationship supersedence, it's going to actually show me what relationships are there. Okay, so it'll actually build a flowchart of, okay, you have 9.4, this is the MSI version, you've got Adobe Reader X, this is what you go through. Then essentially just do a deployment to the same user collection. So when they pick it up, because you put in a supersedence, it's going to actually check first. Have they got 9.4 installed? If they do, uninstall it, then install 10. If they don't have it installed, just install 10. Okay, so if you think of the number of steps you would have to jump through to do that in 2007, now it's just part of the application model. Yes, sir? To initiate it, so the question is, in order to force that, would you have to make it mandatory? Yes, you would. The question is, does this mean that Microsoft is going to be committed to releasing MSIs? I'm not a spokesperson for Microsoft, so I don't know. But obviously, Office. Office Visual Studio. I mean, look, they are sort of available as MSIs, sort of mostly not. I think this is certainly going to, I won't say that this means that Microsoft is now committed to deploying MSIs. I will say that they're going to cop a lot of flack if they don't. So that's probably the closest I can say. No worries. Any other queries? No. Yes, sir. Okay, so the question isn't there actually a way of doing manual installations using new application model type applications like Office 2010. I think I know the blog post you're talking about, but not having read up on it right before I've done this presentation, I don't want to comment. If you give me your information afterwards, I'm more than happy to follow up with you on that. Absolutely. Yes, sir. So the question is, if you're forcing an upgrade of an application and it needs a reboot, will it force that or not? Actually depends on the options that you specify. If you tell it, if this needs a reboot, reboot, then that's what it will do. If it needs a reboot, but you tell it under no circumstances reboot, then it won't. Next time it occurs, so maybe you would want to schedule this for an out-of-hours push instead. Use Wake on LAN, bring the machines up, upgrade the application, do the reboots, shut them down again. Obviously, it depends per app. All right. Yes, sir?
If Microsoft forcing us to use MSIs, what tool do they recommend we use? Not forcing us to, pushing us down that path, what tool do they recommend we use to create MSIs and non-MSIs?
Okay, so the question is, if Microsoft seem to be throwing their weight behind MSIs, what tools do they recommend that you use for repackaging? They don't recommend anything. I make recommendations. Again, that's not something I actually know. Certainly, obviously, the major implication is MSIs are where you need to be. You can still deploy executables from within Config Manager 2012 exactly the same way as you do in 2007. You just don't get all this UDA intelligence, okay? So if you have applications which only support EXEs, they're vendor-based stuff, they've done weird and wonderful things with IntelliShield, then you can still work with it. It's just that you don't get all these smarts as well. But again, that's a good one, which I can submit to the guys for some feedback. All righty. Now, please fill in your evals. There is a touch mouse up for grabs. I had to play with these yesterday morning. They are seriously cool pieces of kit, so well worth winning. TechQuest, obviously, run around and scan people's barcodes and irritate them. And check out Schedule Builder. You can download this presentation. It's been recorded as well, I believe. Yay, fun and games. Obviously, feel free to contact me. Twitter, blog, james@bannon.com.au is my email address. Please feel free to drop me a line. And thank you very much, guys. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.